Well, we're talking about Zeke, and guess what? He speaks. He speaks. Zeke is speaking. And today, we have already been worshiping, hearing a message, actually very well put by several of the songs we sang. Today, we're going to talk about the bad shepherds. Now, we're also going to talk about the good shepherd, and the good shepherd's name is?
Jesus.
Okay, good. Jesus, we're good there. Go there. But we're talking about shepherds today. Zeke is talking about shepherds. As I taught my sophomore Bible class at ACU for about 12 years, we'd go through the Bible. We had one day on Ezekiel, one day, because we're going through the whole Old Testament, you know. And so one day on Ezekiel, and one of the things we did was talked about chapter 34, the bad shepherds. And you failed the class if you didn't know that when I would walk up to you anywhere on campus, if I said Ezekiel 34, you had to reply, bad shepherds. If you don't do that, boom, you're out. You lost. You flunked. Or I could say bad shepherds, and you had to say Ezekiel 34. So we're going to practice that right here. This has to do with your status in heaven, probably. Okay, so I'm going to say one or the other, and you're going to repeat back. So Ezekiel 34, bad shepherds. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing. Y'all will make it. You know that shepherd is often used metaphor in the Bible. And I want you to get this idea about metaphor, right? And so a metaphor is some, huh? That's a comparison. What else? I don't know how to explain it, but I can tell you what one is. It's shepherd. The shepherd is a metaphor. We're not really talking all the time about sheep and shepherds going around taking care of sheep. Sometimes when you use the word shepherd, we're not talking about that. We're talking about the idea of a leader, okay? And this happened a lot even before the time of the Bible. So I'm asking some people about shepherds, and here's one. Hammurabi. Y'all know all who Hammurabi is, Hammurabi's code. You know that, don't you, Steve? Barnett. Hammurabi's code. He's a great leader in the first Babylonian dynasty, about 400 years before Moses, and he united the nation of Babylon. They were a bunch of just little city-states, and he united them under this one law known as Hammurabi's Code. Yeah. And there's a lot of things that are in the Old Testament that sound like Hammurabi's Code. But here's how Hammurabi would introduce himself. And he was a great leader, king. Top 10 in all of world history. And some of you didn't have that great of an education maybe, but that's the facts, Jack. Just trust Google. He would introduce himself, I am Hammurabi, the shepherd, the Babylonian god of justice, the great warrior, the firstborn of Ikur. This is how he introduced himself. I am Hammurabi, the shepherd. Okay. That's one. Here's another one. You've heard of this guy probably for sure. Moses. Moses was an actual shepherd with actual sheep for many years of his life. But even after he gave up the sheep, he was known and called the shepherd of Israel. And he was talking about him being the leader of the people. Perhaps you know of another one in the Bible. David. He was a real shepherd with sheep, but also he became the king. And after he was the king, you know, he was known for a lot of things. He was a ladies' man, not that, that's a dark side of him, but he was a great warrior as well, right? And then this leader king, always known as the shepherd. He was the leader of the people. And finally, Jesus calls himself the good shepherd. You can imagine if shepherd is another code word, it's a metaphor for king or for warrior, why the people in John 10 would be upset if Jesus called himself the Good Shepherd. You see the little political overture? Yeah. So, this is what we're talking about today, the shepherds. And Jesus has a message for the shepherds of Israel. And I mean, Ezekiel does. He's going to speak to them, but maybe he's going to speak to us too. Before we get started, though, we've already sung some songs. And when we sang, "Oh Man, Give Me Your Eyes," it's just the message of this Ezekiel 34. But another song I want you to think about, and there's a phrase in the song that I want you to know, and I'll refer to it, and you're going to have to repeat it back to me several times during the course of the sermon. And it's Corey Asbury's song, Reckless Love. Some of you may know the song Reckless Love. It's been one of the big anthems on Christian radio and music all of 2018. Here's some of the lyrics. "Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God." Sounds like sort of the background of a scene from the movies Taken, Liam Neeson. You know, there ain't no mountain I won't climb up coming after you. Not no door I'm not going to kick down coming after you. But it's this phrase, it chases me down, fights till I'm found. He leaves the 99. Now, leaves the 99. What is that about? Well, we know, don't we? Because the reference to Luke 15 is so well understood that this song, it has no background. It doesn't give any context. It just says, leaves the 99, like you're supposed to know what that means. And you do. So it's the story, the shepherd, he has 100 sheep, one is lost, and he leaves the 99 to go find the one, right? That's a companion story, it's in Luke 15, to the prodigal son, both those stories, side by side. This is who God is, this is who Jesus is. He's the shepherd who would go after the one, he would go find the one who's lost. He's the father who would receive back the lost son. Now, one of the things you've got to know about this is sheep are dumb, but they're not bad. Okay? God loves the sheep, even the strays, even the ones who are lazy, the ones who are disobedient, the ones who are stubborn. Okay? And I'm talking about you mostly and me, and the ones especially that are lost. He loves those lost sheep. They are so precious to him. He would risk everything to find just one that's lost. Lost doesn't mean, in this sheep shepherd metaphor, it doesn't mean that you're an evil person on their way to hell. That means just, no, I'm lost my way. Where am I? My life is upside down. And the shepherd will do, the good shepherd will do whatever it takes to find the lost sheep. He leaves the 99. So, here we go to your handout and to Ezekiel 34. If you have a Bible, it's a lot better to have a Bible in this study than not to have a Bible. Plus, if you get, tired of me talking, just read it. It's good. So, Ezekiel 34. The word of the Lord comes to Ezekiel, and he's going to have a message for the shepherds of that day. And they were bad shepherds. But first, for us to get into the hang of this, I'm going to ask you the question. Are you a leader or are you a follower? Are you a sheep or are you a shepherd? Now, when Bob's asking questions like this, It's always a trick answer. And the answer is both. You are both a sheep and a shepherd. You are a leader. Every person in the room, we're all leaders. And you know, you really can't choose. Sometimes you're just thrown into the role of leader. You didn't ask for it, but you are it. And it may be in a lot of different settings, but everyone at some point in their life is the leader of someone else. You might not even know you're the leader. But in many ways, you become the leader. And so this is a message to leaders, but it's a message to us as leaders. That's where we're headed here. So these shepherds, and it starts in verse 1, but I'm going to start in verse 3. Well, first, verse 2, he says, "Woe to you shepherds." And you know, woe is it's an expletive. It says, you're going to hell. You are cursed. You are bad things on you. This is what woe means. Woe doesn't mean stop. That's a different spelling, W-H. Oh, never mind. Woe to you leaders, to you shepherds. Because what are you doing? What were they doing? Well, they were eating good food, and they were wearing good clothes while the flock went homeless. Now, in the metaphor, what he's saying is you took the wool off of the sheep, and you ate the food for the sheep, but you didn't feed the sheep, and you didn't take care of the sheep. You were just taking care of yourself. Now, of course, the metaphor, he's talking to the leaders of Israel, the ones who had the task of taking care of the group. Okay? And so, again, you're going to find yourself always, in every scripture or sermon, find yourself in the story. And in this part of the story, you're going to both be sheep and shepherds in this story. So they were in charge of feeding and taking care of the flock, but they were really just taking care of themselves. They weren't taking care of the sheep. They were in the business of leadership for themselves. This is sometimes how it may seem in our political landscape today, that some of our government officials seem to be in it for themselves. But they're not the only ones. I've known coaches and teachers. They were just in it for themselves. Rather than, if you're a teacher, you're in it for the students. If you're a good shepherd, if you're a good teacher. But I've known others that weren't. Okay, so this is the point. They were in it for themselves. Ezekiel 34. And what the Bible says to them, what Ezekiel says to them, you have not strengthened the weak, or healed the sick, or bound up the wounded. Now this is going to tell you by inference, this is the job of the shepherd. What is the job of the shepherd? To strengthen the weak. Okay, what's the job of the shepherd? It's to heal the sick. It's to bind up the wounded. They have not done that. They have not brought back the strays or searched for the lost, but you have ruled them harshly and brutally. And so the sheep were scattered, and no one searched or looked for them. So there was a part of this sermon I was going to do at the end, but I just want to do it now. So I'm reading this, and I'm thinking about sheep and shepherds. And I'm thinking about me and you. As a shepherd, me. As sheep, you. But I'm not the only shepherd in this group. Okay? Betty is one. Am I right? Am I right? Vicky is one, right? Art is one. Hey, wait a minute. We're all shepherds, and yet we're all sheep, because we have the tendency to get lost. And if we were talking about sin and the lostness of our soul, no one out there, well, Pam has already admitted she's violated every law in the Old Testament except murder. So, okay. So, and yeah, she has more time to commit murder later if she's, it could happen. But seriously, if we were just ranking up, if we all had to come up here and write all our sins on the wall, that'd be rough, right? Okay, start here with Jessica. Jessica, your name right here, and then there's a list of all your sins, right? And then Kevin would be next. And I promise you, well, except for Pam, I'm the biggest sinner of the group. There's no crap that you have done that can top mine. Lost. So now I'm in this role of shepherd, and I see some of us who are lost. We're just headed in it the wrong way. So this week, as I was getting ready for the sermon, I looked at the directory. It's on my phone, right? And in the directory are pictures. Now, some of you don't have a picture. You have this little empty blob thing. And I started thinking of all of the many times that you needed someone to help you, but no one was there. You needed help, but no one was there. Or at best, they're just a half-assed effort. And so this was them. He's saying, the sheep were scattered. They needed help. They needed help, and none of the shepherds went out to help them. And God's heart is breaking because they've been kidnapped by the enemy. They've been put in chains, what Cindy talked about. And the leaders, which is us, have not been out there to help them. And so Ezekiel here is calling them to account. These leaders are going to be held accountable by God. But for what? For what are they accountable? Here's what he says to them. You abandoned my flock, and you left them to go. And I think about us. At times when we're trying to live life and we're just struggling, have you known someone in your family or in your sphere of influence who has just been struggling? They're struggling. And what do? They've been abandoned because you know what? We're busy taking care of our own stuff, working my own 401k. I got vacations to go on. I got things to do. Can't mess with my sheep. Somebody else has to take care of them. So he says, you abandoned the flock and left them to be attacked by every wild animal. And though you were shepherds, you didn't search for them even when they were lost. You took care of yourselves. Ezekiel says, you took care of yourselves. And you left the sheep to starve. The leaders were responsible of taking care of the sheep. You are responsible. And he says, I'll hold them accountable, and I'll remove them from tending or taking care of my sheep. So here's a question I want to ask you. Who is your flock? Okay, I want you to get really specific with yourself. I'm going to give you some examples. Okay, Georgie, she's sitting here on the front row, right and left-handed, as she always does. And who is sitting next to her? Her flock, right? Her flock. Okay, Jessica's over here making eyes at Maddie. And she's hoping that maybe she can pass off one of her sheep to Georgie, because this sheep, Maddie, might be difficult. but she's still your sheep. Yeah, right. That's not the one, right? But all of us are in that situation where there's somebody who we're responsible for. Who is your flock? I want you to think about that very specifically. Who is your flock? And then what are your responsibilities? And then who are you accountable to? Sorry. You know, Cain asked God the question, right? Am I my brother's keeper? God didn't answer, but it was just, yes, you are your brother's keeper. And because you are, you know what you do? Sometimes you leave the 99. Because the one who's in trouble is the one where you need to focus. A lot of times, I don't want to focus on the one that's in trouble. I want to focus on the one who would go into a party with me. Because we're all good. We're all good. Let's go. What about so-and-so? Leave the 99. So God says that he's going to be the shepherd. In Luke, he says he's going to be the shepherd. You guys who had your chance, now I'm going to step in and be the shepherd. This is what he says in Ezekiel 34. I'm going to be the shepherd. And he's going to truly take care of the flock. And as he's saying this, you know, we're over in verse 17, if you're in your Bible. He says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to judge also between sheep. As the shepherd, sometimes my sheep are fighting each other. So God's care also includes dealing justly with conflict within the flock. And again, Jessica, I'm sure as she sees her little flock, sometimes there's conflict among those little sheep. Hey, amen. Can I hear that? All the time, she says, under her breath, all the time. Here's what they were doing. The strong sheep were getting to the grass, the good grass, and they would eat it. And here in Ezekiel says, then after they would eat all they wanted, what they would do, they would stomp on it on the grass so no one else could eat it. Or they would come to the water and they would drink the water and then they would foul the water so no one else could drink it. Because this is the tendency of human beings and sheep, that when we're strong, sometimes we will abuse our strength. So he guards the weak. A good shepherd is going to guard the weak from the strong because the strong have a tendency to abuse their strength and power. And if you've had multiple children, if you're only the parents of an only child, you don't get this as much. But if you've had multiple children, you know, every once in a while, one's going to be the bully to the others. Have you ever had to stop one of your kids from bullying the other kids? Yeah, all the parents are going, without, because they don't want to, blame the kid that's sitting in the room with them. But we know that's part of the deal. And that's a tendency. So if you're a leader, part of your job is to make sure that conflict within the flock is dealt with appropriately, justly, fairly, with mercy. Because the tendency is so easy just to overlook it, right? Just, there they go again. Let them do that. Where they're hurting each other. Sometimes the sheep who's lost is lost because of a conflict that happened within the flock. So if we're looking around at our own personal flock, like I'm hoping all of you kind of thinking about your own personal flock, where is there conflict and what might my role be in managing or resolving that conflict? Good shepherds will intervene. A good leader does not ignore conflict or injustice. A good leader is going to be proactive in ways that lead to peace and safety and well-being. So God uses human beings is the next thing he's going to say in Ezekiel. He says in verse 23, I'm going to place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend to them. Now, think about that. When the Old Testament, or the New Testament too, often will use the word, the term, the name David. And what that means is a leader like David. It's not going to be the David. But it's a leader like David. It's a leader that's ideal. And so he's going to give these people a new leader. First of all, he's going to step in and be the leader himself. He's going to kick out the bad shepherds, and he's going to step in and be the leader himself. God is. But then he's also going to provide, and how this is how God always works, right? God is always working through human beings. He chooses, so he's saying, I'm going to do my work, and I'm going to do it through this new king, David. That's you, by the way. It's also was going to be Jesus. God uses human beings to take care of each other. He sends us on missions of leadership and service. Here's the thing. God has called us to be shepherds of our flocks. And in that, he's sending us out. So again, I'm sitting on the couch and I'm looking at my phone directory of your pictures. Of your pictures. As I'm doing it, this song comes to my mind. It's a poem. And it came to a song, of course, a hymn. Fannie J. Crosby, Rescue the Perishing. Some of y'all from old school days would remember the song, Rescue the Perishing. So I love sitting with Mary Beth and Avery because one knows the song, Rescue the Perishing, one doesn't. It's new, so we can teach. Got some teaching here to do. But read this. And here's how I hear this. This is our instructions. These are instructions from the Good Shepherd to us, his shepherds. Rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. Snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep o'er the erring one. Lift up the fallen. Tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. Man, as I'm looking at your pictures, I'm saying weep o'er the erring one. Some of us, you know, where are we lost? It's not that we've turned against God, but we're just having trouble in life. And so for Shanna, the fire, I'm weeping over just she needs help, right, from us. And she received that help. And so many others in other ways. We need each other. And when we see and think about the life situations that we're in, weep, because it's hard. Life is hard. Verse 3, though, is the one that just captures my heart. She wrote, down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore. Touched by a loving hand, wakened by kindness, cords that were broken will vibrate once more. That phrase, cords that were broken. So I'm thinking of a singer with a beautiful voice who, for some reason, some accident or some other act of another person, their vocal cords were crushed and broken. But because God is a healer, because good shepherds can help restore, it says, wakened by kindness, cords that were broken could vibrate once more. What are those cords? Dreams, maybe, that were shattered. Some of you have had dreams. You thought something was going to happen, and it didn't. I put it this way. Life just didn't turn out right. You thought it was going to be one thing, but it didn't. wasn't. Perhaps relationships died. Woo! I say this as a divorced man in a group of divorced people. We didn't think it was going to turn out that way, did we? But what the good shepherd does, he goes after the 99. He leaves the one. He leaves the 99. He goes after the one, the broken one, the one who's hurt, the ones who's hurting. Careers never materialized. Man, thought I was going to be this and that. Back in the day, I was going to be all that. But they'd never materialized, or it ended badly. Or I'm in a lifestyle that's kind of boring, or, you know, it's for sure not fun and not very restful. I have no peace. We're lost, and we need a shepherd. And the shepherds we need are also sometimes sitting right next to us. Or sometimes you're the shepherd who needs to be, what does it say? Wakened, touched by a loving hand. Wakened by kindness, cords that were broken would vibrate once more. Perhaps you're the loving hand that needs to touch someone whose cords have been broken, but they can vibrate once more. In the end, and we're all headed to the end. Oops. The final word. God's in charge, and he will take care of his people. In John 10, it says this. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. That's our destiny. The good shepherd has come for us. Even if first Jessica and then Georgie failed their shepherding duties to Maddie, and she's lost, there's another one who's come for her. Jesus is our good shepherd, and he has never given up. He's never giving up. We have some duties as shepherds. I hope we leave today thinking about those duties. But more than that, we have a good shepherd who, in spite of the shepherds who have shepherded us poorly, perhaps, the good shepherd has come and laid down his life for us. That's the good news of today. The other metaphor that is often used about God is that he's a father. We're going to sing Good, Good Father. And as we sing Good, Good Father, again, I want you to think of this metaphor of Jesus is the good shepherd. He left the 99. He came for you. He came for you. And you may have cords that were broken, but God is saying they can vibrate once more. It's not over because God has sent the good shepherd who's laid down his life for you. And the God who sent him is your father. He's your good father. And because of that, you're his child. You're not just a dumb sheep. Yeah. You're God's son. You're God's daughter. So let's stand up, sing this song, and really soak in the message of these songs.